Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Joining us now, John J.D. Daniels, the general manager of the Texas Rangers. J.D., how you doing today, brother?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing really well. I couldn't be more excited. I love watching Joey Gallo play baseball, and so, of course, I'm going nuts right now. It seems like it's one of the most entertaining thing in all of sports right now to watch him in the batter's box, and seeing him with a .281 batting average is such a freaking pleasure. He's just off to a phenomenal start. What are you seeing from your young slugger that has you fired up?
You know, if you look at the week he had before, you know, this past week, this past week he was unbelievable, right? Doing a little bit of everything. Opposite field single with two strikes, driving runs, sack flies, extra base hits, obviously monster bombs, but the week before was kind of a rough week. You know, he struggled in Arizona, came home, first game against the Angels. I think he struggled a little bit, had a bunch of punch outs. And I think in the past, that's something where you might have seen that linger for a little while. And Joey just kind of kept his, mind right where he needed to be, kind of kept believing, doing the things he needed to do, stayed within himself and bounced right out of it. So that for me is, the physical talent, it's always there. But to see where he's come and just kind of believing in himself and the consistency, bouncing out of a slump like that so quickly, that was really awesome.
Now this start, is anything about this start surprised you, or did you know, all along this is going to be, what appears to be through the first part of the season, a competitive team?
I never really sit down and map out wins and losses.
Sure.
Early, season. That's for from a standpoint of series by series and week by week. But what I have not been surprised by, based on just being around the club this spring, it was just their competitiveness and kind of we're in every game. Kind of reminds me a lot of parts of 2015 where, it looks like early on, maybe a little bit outmanned from on the pitching staff side at times, some young guys figuring things out. But these guys are in every game. They find a way to come back, find a way to hang on, facing some, really good teams, really good starting pitchers, getting contributions up and down from everybody. Even yesterday, rest a couple of regulars and, Pence and Forsyth both hit bombs. Mathis gets two hits. And so that's been the fun part about this club early on is that everybody's contributing. If somebody has a rough day, but the team does well, nobody's hanging their head. And I give a lot of that credit to Woody and the staff for what they're trying to do.
It's such an interesting sport in that regard with the 162-game grind that you just can't overreact any one game. And there's no other sport is like that. I guess hockey's halfway like that, right? Or how many games are there in hockey? Is it
82.
82, right. So it's really remarkable. And I've noticed that about you over the years, too. You're incredibly patient. And so it's moments like these where Joey Gallo is in a really nice groove that, boy, you look really smart for not panicking at the wheel because we overreact and we tend to give up on young players way too soon when they haven't yet developed. But did you have to work on that over time? I mean, because that's an important part of your job, not freaking out during a rough patch, because sometimes those rough patches go for a while before you turn it around.
Well, it helps when you're a heartless, cold, emotionless person like I am. You know, that's a good starting point.
There you go.
I think we've made emotional decisions before. We've done them, and we will again. I just think, like, the reality is, when you sit back and look at it, like, that rarely plays, you know? And there are times where you've got to kind of, you know, take a little bit of a short-term view of things based on the context of where the season's at and where the, you know, who's on the club and you know, what kind of economic decisions are coming up. But for the most part, like, taking a long-term view in our sport, probably in most sports, but definitely in baseball, like, it's going to pay off. And especially for where we are as an organization right now, what our stated goals were coming into the year. And, you know, I just think that makes the most sense for us. And, you know, if it looks like we're not emotional, that's not necessarily like, we're into every game, every pitch. I mean, you know, there's life in the, when we're watching together, you guys are fired up, when we get down, we lose, all that sort of deal. But you got to be able to take a step back and keep the big picture in mind.
Right. Because, you know, when people overreact and you just can't. Like, when you say you've made emotional decisions in the past, I know you can't, like, walk us through, but what do you mean? How do you mean by that? Like, you're just emotional in a moment and you overreact as opposed to staying calm?
A little bit there. I mean, not so much with, like, it's not like we sense, you know, I don't think I've ever sent somebody down out of emotion, like, pissed at a bad performance, you know, mm-hmm. you know, banish somebody. It's not like that, but so I can think of a few trades we've made where, you know, we weren't keeping the big picture in mind, you know, and it felt like the, you know, from an emotional standpoint, we wanted to do something, you know, rather than, like, stay patient and do the right thing. And, you know, there are definitely, like, some regrets from that standpoint. I think when you want to, like, try to force something and make it happen, you know, that's typically, on the list of things we regret, the trades we regret, they usually come down to that.
John, where did you watch the game from yesterday? And the reason I'm asking is because on the fly ball, you know, just watching on TV, you couldn't even get a camera to catch the Joey Gallo pop-up. So could you see it from wherever you were sitting? Or did you lose it too?
No, we were in our suite, which is, like, just over the visitors, just inside of the visitors on deck circle at the lower level of suites. And so we had a pretty good view at it. In fact, Bubba Thompson was in town. He had surgery. He had a broken hamate bone. So he was in town, and Paul Kruger brought him up to the suite. And Bubba's, like, one of these guys, like, just doesn't say a whole lot. Like, you know, he's uber competitive on the field, but off the field, you know, pretty laid back. That was one of the few things I heard him, like, exclaim during the day was when Joey hit that ball. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like, "Oh my God!" You know, like, just sheer shock. You just don't see balls hit that high. I think it was, what, like, 7.5 second hang time.
Yeah,
which is, you know, I've heard, some scouts in the past. Mel Didier was the first guy I heard say it. I don't necessarily think he came up with it, but he used to talk about you can judge, you know, a player's power based on how long is his pop up stay in the air, which makes sense, right? It's still exit velocity, it's just a different angle. And so, you know, you don't see pop-ups over 7 seconds very often.
Man, it's so much fun watching him play the game. He's so powerful and capable of so many unique things. How is it possible, though, that he went almost 1,400 plate appearances without a sack fly? What do you make of that statistic?
I think a lot of randomness, but I think the strikeout rate, too, plays into it. You know, I think somebody's article pointed out today that, or maybe it was a tweet somebody put out there, but it was Willie Mopena of the guys that have actually hit home runs, like 50 or more home runs. I think Willie Mopena was second on the list as far as longest, and I just think it was because you strike out at a high rate, just fewer balls put in play, and just fewer opportunities for it to happen.
So obviously yesterday Leclerc struggled with his command, and yesterday you could kind of really see the frustration on his face, you know, even after the game. What are you seeing in Jose? Is this mechanics? Is this confidence? Or what do you think is going on with Jose right now?
I think a little of both. I'm not sure it's like true confidence. I don't think he lacks confidence. I think it's more he just wants to make it happen so bad that he's pushing a little bit, which in turn probably makes the mechanical adjustments tougher to come by. You know, cause he's trying to, you know, really execute the fastball that he needs to execute, and instead he's trying to, you know, leads him trying to throw harder, and he flies open a little more, and then the fastball sails up and away. So, the biggest concern you ever have when a guy's struggling is he hurt? And, like, there's no reason to believe that there's any physical issue. I think he's going through a rough stretch, and he probably has some, you know, mechanical adjustments that he can make. And I know Julio and Oscar and those guys are working on it with him.
On the other hand, Sean Kelly off to just a phenomenal start, and you start having those conversations about, all right, where should this guy be used? Where is the most important moment in the game? Is it always the safe situation, or could it be in the seventh or sixth or eighth or wherever? But tell us a little bit about Sean Kelly and what you're seeing from him.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point, Ben. I'm glad KT or somebody else told you to bring it up. The day before, Woody went to Sean in the fifth inning. Samson had been really good through four and started to scuffle a little bit. You know, we were up by several runs at the time, but with the Astros lineup, it's one of those deals. You don't put the fire out right there, like all of a sudden they're one swing of the bat from tying it or going up. And he brought Kelly in, and he got a couple big outs right there in the fifth inning. That was the save, you know. And then yesterday, you know, he kind of gave Leclerc as much rope as he could, and then, you know, had Kelly ready, and that was the save. So, you know, I like that. I think Woody's using him creatively. I haven't looked, but my guess is he's probably pitched every inning from the fifth on so far, and all in big spots, and he's rewarded us so far.
What's the latest that you can give us on Ronald Guzman and Rugi?
Ronald was going to see the doctor today for a checkup, and if all goes well, then he'll join the club out in Oakland, not to be activated, but to start ramping up. Rugi's with the club in Oakland. I'm going to take BP and do some base running today, then live BP tomorrow, and if that goes well, you know, he can start a rehab assignment as soon as Wednesday. So Rugi, you know, got a chance for this weekend in Seattle, I think, is a distinct possibility. And Guzzi's not far behind.
Hey, fantastic news. Hey, congrats on a fantastic start to the season. We'll be watching and listening, and always looking forward to catching up with you each week here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, John Daniels, the general manager of the Texas Rangers.
So he joined us Thursday. We were at the Rangers golf course for the Do It For Dirt event.
Yeah.
He joined us, but it really just turned into football talk.
Uh-huh.
Because the Giants picked at number 6 and number 17. And it seemed to me that if John Daniels was the GM of the Giants, that they would be trading for Josh Rosen. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not putting words in JD's mouth. I think he might be trying to get that second rounder or third rounder. He may not want to give up a first to get Josh Rosen. But I was sitting there explaining, I was like, hey, man, Josh Rosen, did you guys need to do it? I said, I would give pick 17 right now.
And didn't you say that somebody said it would only take a third-round pick to get Josh Rosen?
The Peter King, who's not – I mean, to me, Peter King is a legendary writer, so all respect to him. But he's sitting there writing a third-rounder is the most they could get, and I'm going, I don't think so. If that's where they're at, then they just need to keep him. But right. I think that's fascinating. What the Giants do on Thursday night at 6 and 17 – I got a list of names I'd love for them to draft because I don't think they're very good players.
If you're telling me that the Cowboys could get Josh Rosen for pick 90, I would
do that
in a heartbeat.
And I think all 32 teams would sign up for that.
And just see it play out. So there's no way that's accurate.
I don't know. But Peter would, you know. Peter knows, right? He knows things. Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.